When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Ball's got to get to Freiermuth, Johnson, and Pickens. It's that simple.
This is Saverin on Steelers.
Hello to everyone in Steelers Nation, and welcome to the Saverin on Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Stan Saverin, and we post up here on Steelers.com twice weekly. So we hope if you enjoy the Steelers content we bring you, that you'll tell your friends, neighbors, relatives, your pets, anybody, to tune in, to go to Steelers.com and listen to our podcast. The Steelers coming off a win. I wouldn't use the adjective impressive, but it did represent a step in the right direction. How far have they traveled in a positive nature? Well, it's a long way back from being 2-6. It's going to take a while to reach a level of equilibrium. So for the time being, a win is a win is a win, even though there were certainly flaws in the win. Let's take a look at a couple of different elements of the game on Sunday against the New Orleans Saints. And any remarks that I'm going to make are prefaced with the understanding that the New Orleans Saints aren't a very good football team. They are 3-7, and as Bill Parcells said, you are what your record says you are. But then again, I would imagine in New Orleans are saying, how could you look so poor against a team like the Steelers that were 2-6? So turnabout is fair play. Two not very good teams at this point of the season playing each other. But I think we have to look at development for the Steelers. Where indeed are they headed? Let's start with Kenny Pickett. I thought that early on in the game, really for most of the first half, he looked very tentative to me. Having a chance to be at the game and sitting high up in the press box, you're able to see what you're not able to see on TV, plays developing, who's open, who's not. And I thought that there were plays to be made had he pulled the trigger more decisively. I don't think that he did that on Sunday. I think he got better as the game went along. I thought he definitely got better as the game progressed throughout the 60 minutes of play. But that's what you expect from a young quarterback. It's what you expect from a rookie quarterback. When you look at the quarterbacks, even those drafted last year, just in their second year, they're still going through growing pains. It takes time. And this is what, once the Steelers made the commitment to Kenny Pickett, they've got to stay with that, and they've got to suffer, if you will, the slings and arrows of what you get with a rookie quarterback. I think on a more positive note, the running game was much more at a level where they want it to be, where they need it to be. The biggest thing for me about the running game is that if you take away the 8 carries that Kenny Pickett had, they had more runs than they did passes. In today's NFL, maybe that's unrealistic to expect that or want that every week. I think if you had a 55 pass, 45 run ratio, that'd be okay. And the biggest reason why is earlier on in the season when Pickett played, if you prorated over a 60-minute program, they were passing the ball 44 times a game. That's way too many. If you look at NFL stats going back any number of years, even in this pass-happy era, if you pass the ball 40 or more times, the chances are you are the losing team. It's just what the stats say. Generally, if you're passing the ball 44 times, it means what? You're behind. And you're trying to catch up. And to do that, you have to throw the ball. But in the Steelers' particular instance, in this particular season, you're asking a rookie quarterback to take on too much of the load. You don't want to put the ball in his hands and say, here, win it for me. You'd rather put him in a position where he passes because you want him to, not because he has to. And that's my biggest takeaway from the game on Sunday. Overall, 43 runs, 8 of them by Pickett, but only 30 passes. In today's day and age, that's an acceptable number. And if they continue that, I think they'll win more games than they lose the rest of the way. The running game came up bigger. I wouldn't say kind of big, but came up bigger than it has been. Najee Harris, 20 carries, 99 yards. You'll take that every day of the week, whether you're playing on Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. 5 yards per carry. And maybe the most important element of that, they had one pass attempted to him. Maybe they could utilize him a bit more. He's going to be effective in the pass game. But they're limiting his touches. One of the items that they wanted to achieve this year, they understood that they cannot have Najee Harris with 30 touches per game, which is what he was getting last year. 20 touches a game, 20 runs, maybe 2-3 targets on passes. That's an acceptable rate. And sure enough, he had 20 rushes, one target on a pass, almost came up with it for a long gain. And that brings in Jaylen Warren into the equation. Nine carries, 40 yards, 4.1 per carry. And maybe more importantly, two pass receptions for 23 yards. He got a third of the touches among running backs in the ball game. That's exactly what I'd like to see. A 2/3 split between Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. Warren, to me, has been a revelation. Initially, I think we all thought he was a guy who was a better version of Benny Snell, meaning an inside guy, a strong runner, who when he saw the hole would hit it and hit it decisively and quickly. But what I saw from Jaylen Warren yesterday was a back who had much better speed than I thought he had. He got outside a couple of runs. He got outside on a couple of screen passes. This is a welcome addition. It makes you wonder how he went undrafted. Well, I'll answer my own question. NFL scouts look at a kid coming out of college and say, well, he's too small. He's too short. But Jaylen Warren showed he's a strong runner at whatever size he is. And the fact that he can now catch a screen pass, catch a swing pass, catch a pass out in the flat, and has the speed to get outside as he did on that one 23-yarder to set up a field goal, he adds something through his individual performance, but also because they can trust him now, limits the amount of touches. And another significant factor in that regard was Najee Harris saying after the game that he understands that a guy like Jaylen Warren can make him, meaning Harris, better because he's not paying and taking the pounding that he was receiving in past years. The kicking game, well, they'll have to get Matthew Wright right, if you will, because Chris Boswell has to miss at least the next two games. The defense was outstanding, again, taking into account that the Saints aren't very good in their current state. Andy Dalton is a backup. They were missing three starting offensive linemen. They're missing their best wide receiver in Michael Thomas. But still, you get an idea of what this defense could be with T.J. Watt back now. They play without Miles Jack. Let's not forget that. Alex Highsmith is developing into a, now he's not a T.J. Watt, but maybe he becomes a Lamar Woodley playing on the other side of a James Harrison. And, of course, we don't know when we'll see Minkah Fitzpatrick again, but we saw the effect that DeMonte KZ can have, and I thought Levi Wallace had his best game as a Steeler. The Steelers and Mike Tomlin thought this defense could be a dominant defense. Maybe we're beginning to see the root elements of that. Time of possession, 39 minutes to 21. They allowed the Saints, again, limited, but they limited them to a mere 10 first downs. That's winning football. So have they taken a step out of the woods? Mike Prezuda is on the DV Morning Show. He's also on the Steelers Radio Network pregame show. And Mike joins us now on Savern on Steelers. And Mike, do you think the Steelers made a giant stride out of the woods that they've been in?
I did, and I see it that way, fully understanding that the Saints are not very good and they are profoundly injured. And the schedule was set up totally in the Steelers' favor with New Orleans having to play on Monday night and then go on the road. But sometimes that's what happens in the NFL. All you can do is play who you're playing. And I think they dominated that game, now that it was still tied up until early in the fourth quarter, is on the Steelers for not taking more advantage of the opportunities they had. But the two biggest things they were looking for, making plays on the ball defensively. They were able to do that twice via interceptions and getting some splash out of the offense. And I think it was six plays of more than 21 yards, which isn't all that much for most teams, Stan, but hey, it was bonanza for the Steelers in that offense.
Right, based on what we've seen up until this point. I thought, and we discussed this a bit earlier, that Kenny Pickett looked very tentative early in the game, Trubisky-like in his first couple games, and that there were plays to be made. But overall, how would you evaluate his play?
I was encouraged that he was trying to make more plays, and they have to make more. He's got to get better. I agree with the tentative assessment. But I think one thing he's done a really good job of ever since he started playing is using his legs when applicable, and that's got to continue. And he talked about that afterward. He had a really productive day running the football and, you know, some timely chain-moving gains. The one-on-one that he hit with Deontay Johnson late third quarter was critical because the game was still tied then. They were on that long drive that led to a field goal. But I did see him trying more slants over the middle.
Yeah.
More deeper shots, throwing the ball into the end zone. He even threw one to Pat Freiermuth when Freiermuth was in double coverage. And I almost wanted to stand up and applaud because there's no rule against that. And it wound up as an incompletion. But at least they know now, I think, particularly this was emphasized with the trade of Chase Claypool. The ball's got to get to Freiermuth, Johnson, and Pickens.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that simple. And the quicker everybody figures that out, the better, particularly Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, when I saw it, especially the three slants, one to Deontay, one to Pickens, and another one to Deontay Johnson, there was a PI on the play. had the guy not tackled him, that was 58-yard touchdown pass. And I thought, let me check the rule book. I thought there was a rule against throwing slant passes where the receiver actually catches the ball in stride. The running game, very solid yesterday. And I thought one of the significant elements came post-game. I don't know if you were able to interview Najee Harris, but he was, and I don't want to use the word resigned, but he was accepting of the fact that using Jaylen Warren could actually make him better. One of the things they wanted to do was to, I don't want to say limit his touches, but reduce his touches, and Warren now gives them the opportunity to do that, and it was on display yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think he's been, I don't think Harris has been opposed to that. Since the start of the process way back in the spring, they know that he touched the ball too many times last year, and it's just not sustainable. And Harris was talking about that. I recall specifically reporting day out at St. Vincent College where he said he would love to have another running back take some of the load off. I thought a lot of people got a little out of hand, A, with the criticism of Harris, and B, with the notion that while Jaylen Warren should be the number one guy, Jaylen Warren's one of the few things that's gone right this season in that he is exactly who they were looking for, a complimentary back that they can trust and put in there and still feel like plays can be made. But I think Najee Harris is that guy who should be what he was yesterday, a back who can carry it something approaching 20 times a game, pop a couple of big ones, and wind up just over or just under 100 yards. If he can be that guy, I think it changes the offense dramatically, at least what it might be capable of. I mean, they had the ball for almost 39 minutes, and they got 20 points. You know, you could throw six more in there if you think the kicker should have made the two field goals he missed. But still not punching it in, still not scoring from any distance. That play you mentioned, I agree with you, that the one slant to Johnson was a touchdown if he doesn't get held. So, hey, they almost had a splash play from distance, Stan, but they still have that longest touchdown of the year, 8 yards thing hanging around their necks.
Yeah, absolutely. Worst in the NFL. Are you? I admit I was caught by surprise. Now, you were at camp every day, and you saw the training camp sessions and stuff. I am really surprised by Warren's speed to the outside. You know, initially we thought, all right, he's a guy who takes the handoff, hits the hole very quickly, a better version of Benny Snell. But he showed some speed yesterday I had no idea that he had.
Yeah, he's a pretty good player, and he has been showing that. I can remember since we brought up camp, Mike Tomlin said he first noticed him in backs-on-backers when he wouldn't back down in that drill. He was very aggressive and attacking in that drill. He wanted the contact, and Tomlin said that's how you get noticed if you're, you know, a nobody from nowhere. That's my words, not Tomlin's. But that's how an undrafted rookie can start taking steps toward being more than that. And I have no problems with Jaylen Warren. I just, when you got a number one pick with Najee Harris pedigree, that's the guy I want playing more. Now, the more they convert, the more they possess the ball, the more plays they run, then there's more to divide up and everybody gets fed. But I still think yesterday was, you know, a definite step in the right direction for Najee Harris, but there's a lot more meat on that bone, and they have to use a favorite Tomlinism, look under every rock for the answer to why he hasn't been a really effective running back this season.
We understand that the Saints were injured, a lot of that on the offensive line, but on defense, and they've had their issues in the secondary with Marshawn Lattimore not there. But their front seven is usually, you know, pretty active and very deep. The offensive line, does it continue to get better? Even after the Eagles game, I mean, nobody got better. Everybody got worse. But how big of a fact was the offensive line in your view yesterday, despite the fact that Pickett was sacked six times? I put a lot of that on him.
Yeah, I would agree with you on some of that tentative play that you were referencing a moment ago. I think the offensive line was better. I don't think they're the hogs just yet. I know a lot of guys were going out of their way to credit them yesterday. New Orleans was also without a starting backer, Pete Warner, who's a really good player and one of the starting defensive ends. So the injury problems were throughout the defense. But, again, back to that you can only play who you can play thing. They really controlled that game, Stan. The offensive line had a lot to do with that. when you have the ball for 39 minutes and 56 seconds or 38, 56, whatever it was, that should be a blowout game. That it was, you know, still tied early in the fourth quarter is on the Steelers. But, hey, they found a way to get it done. They put it away. The fourth quarter couldn't have worked out any better. Turnover, stop on downs, turnover, 10 points. And then the offense able to grind out the last 4:23 of the game or whatever it was. They checked a lot of boxes. You know, they didn't do it against the Buffalo Bills, but small steps in the right direction, I think.
Speaking of which, maybe a big step, is this a view of what this defense could be? I mean, T.J. Watt came back. He had an impact. But when you stop and think about getting Minka back, and you stop and think about, and by the way, I thought Levi Wallace, if aside from the interception, had himself a hell of a game yesterday. When they get William Jackson the third back with Minka back at some point, if not this week, then the week after, is this an idea of what Tomlin thought a dominant defense this could be?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to ignore the obvious, right? We've seen T.J. Watt out there twice, and they've been dominant. And when he hasn't played, they haven't been very good. And it continues to amaze me the impact Watt has when he's not there and when he's there. Yesterday, he was more just a kind of a presence out there, and he didn't blow up the stat sheet or wreck the game or anything like that. But, boy, the attention the Saints paid to him was profound, Stan. I mean, they were throwing tight ends at him and running backs and guard tackle double teams, and it freed up the other guys. You know, one of my favorite revelations after the game was Cam Hayward talking about what ended up to be a 14-yard run by Alvin Kamara. Watt came in off the edge unblocked, and he blasted into Taysom Hill, who, unfortunately for Watt, had just handed the ball off to Kamara. But as Cam explained it afterward, you know, Taysom Hill has that gadget play capability. Watt's assignment on the play was to take him out, and he did. And, you know, you go back to that defensive cliche of everybody do their 1/11th and it should work, and don't try to do too much, don't get out of your gap, all that stuff. They played it pretty much by the numbers yesterday. And again, New Orleans offensive line is injury ravaged, don't have their best receiver. Oh, well. That was a really sound defensive performance yesterday, and I think that had a lot to do with how effective it was.
Yeah, held Kamara to 40 yards, and you mentioned Taysom Hill, 3 carries for 1 yard, and that's all they got. And you mentioned time of possessions. They only had 10 first downs the entire game. And also we should mention they play without Miles Jack. I mean, that's not an insignificant loss when a guy like that's not playing. And in addition to that, Mike, maybe too often we look at just sack totals, that kind of thing, quarterback hits. But has Alex Highsmith quietly developed into a really good NFL linebacker?
Yeah, I think certainly above average at this point of his young career. He's not a star that Watt is. And I mean, nobody's as good as Watt right now. But certainly a very capable guy. I thought he was playing pretty well in Watt's absence. But boy, when T.J. Watt's out there and everybody's looking for number 90, the opportunities come around for a bunch of other guys. And Alex Highsmith really learning how to finish and take advantage of them.
When you look at the remaining schedule, I think only a cockeyed optimist would think that, oh, they're going to make a run and make the playoffs. But, you know, where are they? This was a, you know, that's a win. It's against a bad team. Maybe we'll have a better way to look at this after the Cincinnati game. But, I mean, do you see, as Tom would say, the arrow pointing up? And, you know, how far can they go? And is that necessarily beneficial in the long term in the overview for this team, meaning the future?
I think they could win a lot of games. I mean, let's just look at Thursday night. I don't know if you caught any of Carolina and Atlanta.
Very little, thankfully.
Yeah. if you did, nothing you saw from either one of those teams was especially concerning. I watched the tail end of probably the last quarter and a half of the Raiders and the Colts yesterday while you guys were doing the post-game show. I didn't see anything there that doesn't look beatable. That's 4 opponents that you're going to play. And then you got 4 division games, which, you know, those usually are battles in the AFC North. The records are less significant. than the familiarity and the rivalry nature of it. I mean, I could see him going 5-3 in the last eight games. I don't think that'll get him anywhere except to 8-9. But, you know, I'm more concerned with the development of the team at this point than I would be draft positioning. And I think there's no better way to identify development than things that happen that lead to victory. So, you know, my advice would be try to win as many as you can. I know a lot of people want to see him get as high a pick as they possibly can, but it is possible to find really good players when you're not drafted in the top 10. You just have to be pretty good at drafting.
And root against the Bears and make sure that second round.
And root against the Bears.
There you go.
Which
that's
is kind of fun to do anyway.
Well, the good news here is it's highly unlikely that the last game of the year against the Browns will be put into a nighttime slot with both teams sitting there 3-6. That's what I'm looking at.
Stan, I think they'd flex them out of Monday night in Indy if they could.
Oh, no doubt.
I guess that comes in next year that they'll have that option. I'm not 100% sure about that. But, yeah, I think the Cleveland-Pittsburgh game will be played in relative anonymity in early January. That should be just a wonderful atmosphere and environment. January 8th or whatever it is, I'll probably be played in front of, you know, 30,000 or so loyalists and a couple of teams whose level of interest might be iffy.
Thanks to Mike Pizzuto of the DV Morning Show and the Steelers Radio Network for joining us, giving us his insights. Again, the Steelers podcast, Savern on Steelers, available to you twice weekly. Two new episodes each week. Glad you found us. A reminder that you can listen to me each day on Savern on Sports on ESPN Pittsburgh. That's 970 AM. But if you're out of the market, you can easily get that by downloading the iHeartMedia app. It's free, and you can get all kinds of Steelers programming on there. Thanks for joining us today on Savern on Steelers podcast on thesteelers.com. That's where you can get that. We appreciate your listenership, and we'll talk to you again next time. Savern on Steelers. Thanks for listening.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.